Now we turn to a Beat special report on a potential Trump scandal hiding in plain sight. The government has been shut down for 31 days, but there's mounting evidence that President Trump's workday has been shut down far longer. Stretches of time when he avoids doing most of the work of the presidency. What you're about to see is actually central to this era and how Trump approaches this job. We're seeing a new low in presidential work ethic in contrast to recent presidents who kept far busier schedules.
It's a hard job. It's difficult.
You know, nothing truly prepares you for the demands of the Oval Office. Until you've sat at that desk, you don't know what it's like to manage a global crisis.
It's now clear Trump was not prepared for the demands. As a candidate, he pledged hard work, stamina, and no more golf.
I love golf, but if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off.
To be president of this country, you need tremendous stamina. You have so many different things you have to be able to do, and I don't believe that Hillary has the stamina.
If you don't have the stamina, if you don't have the whatever that is that you have to have, the country's in trouble.
Tonight we can report Trump is failing his own stamina standard in at least three ways. First, he comes in late and golfs a ton. Second, when he does arrive, he spends a lot of time watching TV instead of working. And third, he's failed to choose many key appointees. Take a look at Trump's official schedule here. He hasn't shown up for a single meeting before 10:45 a.m. all month. And several other days, the very first item on Trump's schedule was at 2:30 p.m. or even 4 in the afternoon. This is normal for Trump. It's not normal for any other president. We compared other periods when Trump's schedule was available, like last October, to Obama's schedule on October 16. Trump didn't even start his day in the Oval Office until after 11:30 a.m. on average. That's over an hour after Obama's average start time, around 10:15. Not a lot of stamina. But another way to put this data simply is Trump only made it into the Oval Office by 11 a.m. less than once a week, 18% of the time, while Obama was in by 11 a.m. most of the time, 72%. Or you can forget other presidents and compare Trump's workday to, like, everybody else. Because while the federal government and Congress and Wall Street and most employed people have been at work for about 2.5 hours, coming in at 9, Trump is just getting started. Most Americans work longer hours than this low energy president. So if you're watching this and you have a day job, the odds are you work longer hours than the president. And we checked, and Trump kept up this summer Friday schedule, not only during the shutdown, but also during October as America was rocked by those assassination bombing attempts.
Explosive devices sent to a number of Democratic leaders and public servants who've been critical of President Trump.
There are people that are very angry at these people because of what President Trump has said.
This has been a rough day for the democracy, rough day for American politics.
We need to track down this bomber because it's more than just the envelopes.
While that was going down, Trump never had anything on his schedule before 11 a.m. all week. One day, he didn't start until 1 p.m. So that's all about how Trump shows up late. Then there's what he does once he's in the office. The answer is, often, absolutely nothing. Trump will block out time to watch TV and hang. This is known as executive time. Like one of those days during the October bomb scare, Trump had, quote, 9 hours of executive time. This involves unstructured time Trump spends tweeting, phoning friends, watching TV. This is basically Trump's version of Netflix and chill. Except he does it alone and prefers cable news to Stranger Things or reruns of The Office. Now, Trump aides say even though he may be at home or in the office during executive time, it involves work because he calls staff or colleagues. And there may be calls, but we also checked, and there is plenty of TV watching. What Trump sees on TV, he will then post on Twitter. So if Trump's staff are trying to hide his TV watching with executive time, he actually ends up telling on himself by tweeting Fox News items in nearly real time, like a Border Patrol shout out that got a Trump tweet within the same hour.
From a border security perspective, 2018 is shaping up to be a great year.
Or when Trump walked back his administration's support for a Republican House vote on surveillance because he saw it criticized on Fox News, part of an executive time session where he clearly was not on the phone with his colleagues in Congress.
I don't understand why Donald Trump is in favor of this. His woes began right. with unlawful foreign surveillance and unconstitutional domestic surveillance.
There are more examples like that, and that's when Trump claims to be on the job. Then there is his record-breaking, self-enriching promotion of his golf courses. After 2 years, Trump's played about 138% more golf than Obama, and you know too much golf is bad for a president because Trump said so.
Obama ought to get off the golf course and get down there.
I mean, he's played more golf than most people on the PGA Tour.
Everything's executive order because he doesn't have enough time because he's playing so much golf.
I love golf, but if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off.
That's false. Trump's been back to Turnberry 3 times as part of those 166 days golfing at Trump properties. He's also averaged 80 more days golfing than Obama when you compare their first 2 years in office. Fox News has not come down on Trump for this hypocrisy. That would require addressing their own.
The leisurely life of our 44th president, the man who will no doubt set records for the number of rounds of golf played while in office.
President Obama, you have a problem. You have a problem with golf, and it's getting weird.
Then there is the third way that Trump is a president missing in action, his failure to fill these posts that only the president can fill. A third of Pentagon jobs vacant, 43% of jobs empty at the State Department. That includes 25 ambassadorships. Forget hiring the best people. He's not hiring any people.
I know the best people. I know the best managers. I know the best deal makers.
I have the smartest people in this country lined up.
I'm going to get the best people for the job. I have great people working at the White House. They don't get enough credit. I have some tremendously talented people.
We're 2 years in now. We can count it up. Donald Trump won't do the work of vetting and picking people for these key posts. And some things can't be hidden by executive time or blaming Washington. These vacancies are key. They expose how when a task is left up to the president, it doesn't get done. Trump's low energy governance means the chief of staff and 4 cabinet level agencies have no confirmed leader, plus this 37% of federal posts vacant, plus key posts handling nuclear defense, nuclear energy, homeland security, health care for military officials, food safety, and North Korea. You look on your screen, those are all, each one of those important posts vacant because only the president can do it. And more broadly, this means less accountable staff make bigger decisions because the president refuses to do the work. So you see those headlines about momentous decisions sometimes falling to anonymous staff, from when to drop bunker-busting bombs to how to order killings via drones. That all falls into the bureaucracy. The point here is not ideological. If you oppose Trump, you might be happy that he's not making these decisions or picking more people in his image. If you support Trump, you might be upset that he's so uninvolved, he's not putting his stamp on so many powerful posts. This is deeper than that. This is about the risk posed by a president who's essentially MIA, overseeing a partially MIA cabinet, managing what are now hundreds of MIA posts in our federal government, which is, of course, currently completely shut down. This is important amidst all the other stories. This is the risk of mixing inexperience, apathy, and arrogance in the White House. The inexperience was obviously known. Trump never did public service before he ran for president. The apathy was part of Trump's con. He claimed he'd quit golf and work hard, and maybe some believed him. He hasn't done either. And the privileged arrogance is wearing thin. Trump likes to act like it'll all work out when the pain is borne by other people. But those other people now number in the millions from this shutdown, as I was just discussing with Senator Boxer. Many people want to divide us by ideology or identity or location. This boils down to whether you care about the U.S. government or not. If you do, then left or right, you might be wary of giving the keys to someone with no experience or demonstrated service. Just like if you care about the Super Bowl, you don't take the ball from Tom Brady and give it to a disruptor who's never thrown a game before. Or if you care about your heart surgery, you don't roll the dice on someone holding a scalpel who's not actually a doctor. You take it all together, being president is harder than football or surgery. If you had any doubt, Just look at what happens when you put someone in charge with no experience. Hey, I'm Ari Melber from MSNBC. You can see more of our videos right here, or better yet, subscribe to our YouTube channel below. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us, and we appreciate that.